Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. Just a little bit of an apology. I'm in a different location this week. I'm on grandbaby duty. And so it sounds a little different. I know it does. But I think you can basically hear what's going on with everything. Maybe you sound a little echoish, maybe not quite as loud. You have to turn it up a little more. If I have it at the same level that I normally have it, it does sound like I'm in a major cave. So it's compromise, right? Well, we are on the 25th Psalm, and we're at the end of it. I'm hoping to finish the rest of it today. Remember where we left off in the 14th verse? Said this, "The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant." So we've been talking about the fear of the Lord, and he'd started off this psalm, David had, by saying, "Oh Lord, let me not be ashamed, you know, before you, before my enemies." He's going to pick this up at the end of this psalm. Right now he's saying, hey, those who fear him, the secret of the Lord is there, and he's going to make known his covenant. Verse 15, "My eyes are continually toward the Lord." So this is the psalmist speaking, David. "My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net." In other words, he will literally rescue me. He will bring me out of the net, which tells us what? There may be times we get tripped up. There may be times when we get ensnared. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of times we think, well, you know, when you're a believer, you'll never encounter those kind of things. Well, no. But he will pluck us out of the net. Then the psalmist says this, verse 16, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." And we've seen through the psalms up to this point where David has mentioned where he's afflicted. He's mentioned all sorts of things about how he's feeling, what's happening in his life. But this lonely thing, yeah, I mean, you know, he's just saying, hey, I'm solitary. Okay, and it's sort of unique because the Hebrew word means only. The only one, the solitary one, that's good. But it's also translated like the only begotten son. Oh, yeah, the unique one, okay? But here in this case, he's talking about being isolated, being in a solitary thing, as we can tell from the context. Verse 17, he continues, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged." And so he's talking about how his heart is being burdened with these things. Now, some translators, some commentators will say, "Relieve the troubles of my heart." Okay, well, maybe so. But I think within the context, you see he's talking about how things are growing. His troubles are growing within his heart. They're becoming larger. Then he says this, "Bring me out of my distresses." So he talks about the graciousness of the Lord. He talks about how the Lord, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. The Lord will make covenant and all these great things about the Lord. And he's saying, be gracious to me because I'm lonely. I'm afflicted. I've got troubles. I've got distresses. Verse 18, "Look upon my afflictions, my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins." We've seen that repeated over and over, often like in this psalm right here, several times within the same psalm. You know, look upon my afflictions. Look upon my troubles. Forgive all my sins. He repeatedly says, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins." And the idea being that we are always bringing everything before the Lord. You can say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins," and he's forgiving you. And then you may remember something that you had done, or the Lord may convict you about something, right? Yeah. And you say, "Well, Lord, forgive me for that." Here, David is going, "Look upon my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins." Could it be that there's things that are happening here that he's just been reminded of? You know what I mean? And sometimes God does that, right? You're going along, you're praying, you're thinking about these things, and all of a sudden something else comes to mind. Yeah. So he says, "Look upon my affliction, my trouble, forgive all my sins." Then verse 19, "Look upon my enemies." So he asked God to look upon his affliction, his troubles, but then look upon my enemies. "For they are many, and they hate me with violent hatred." So this gives us major insight and clues into what his afflictions and troubles were. He had enemies, and there were many, and they hated him. not just with hatred, but what he called violent hatred. Violent hatred. Because what did they want to do? Oh, yeah, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to do away with him. Well, that's a great deal of hatred right there, guys. So he says, look upon them, God. Look upon my enemies. And that look upon, it does mean to look, to see, but it means inspect. Lord, consider this. Perceive what is happening here. Now, he knows that God does this already, but he says, God, have you taken a good, long, hard look at my enemies right here? You know who there are. There are many. They hate me with a violent hatred. Then out of that, the last three verses of the psalm, verse 20, David says, guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in you. So he picks up the idea that he started the psalm with, of not being ashamed, that the Lord is our refuge, our strength. And he says, God, you're the one that guards my soul. You're the one that can deliver me. If we really think about it, we cannot guard our soul, our emotions, guard our spiritual well-being in and of ourselves, but God can. We would like to think that we can deliver ourselves. There's going to be a psalm down the road here. Which one is it? Maybe the 33rd psalm, 32nd or 33rd psalm. I can't remember which one. But it talks about the king's strength of the army and the mighty strength of the horses and all this, that none of those really deliver you. None of those do anything. It's the Most High God who guards and who delivers. And he says, do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in you. Folks, if we take refuge in the Lord, we have no need to be ashamed. If we have sin, repent like David did. Forgive us, Lord. Okay? If we've done something foolish, Lord, forgive me for it. Okay? But Lord, let there be no shame, because my refuge isn't in me or my ability, but it's in you. Now, verse 21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. And we see David and the psalmist doing this, saying, Lord, I trust in you. I trust you, and I wait for you. Often we'll say, folks, that we trust in the Lord, but then we try to initiate something. We try to do things. No. There's times when we wait for the Lord. We have to aggressively wait. Waiting isn't just sitting in a rocking chair hoping somebody's going to rescue you. No, you aggressively wait upon the Lord and do as he tells you to do. But there's many, many times that we wait in him, knowing that he's guarding us, knowing that he will deliver us. Then verse 22, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. So the nation of Israel and the king had some troubles here. They had enemies, and the enemies were many. The king, David, was talking about himself, saying, God, will you please do this? Will you please rescue me? Will you please deliver me? And at the end of it, he says, Lord, you know what's going on with the nation. You know what's happening here. I ask that you will do likewise here. I ask that you will redeem Israel out of all his trouble. Dare we do the same thing today? You know, particularly in my culture, we have a tendency to think that there's nothing wrong, and that or there's nothing that God can do, and the nation is just a nation, and the Lord won't redeem. Nothing could be further from the truth. We'll see this in some other psalms shortly going down the road here, that the Lord will redeem a nation, and the nation whose God is the Lord is blessed. Yeah, that's great, isn't it? Well, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.